This is the Horse Radio Network. Hi, everybody. Glenn the Geek with you on episode 2 of Horses in the Morning. We apologize for anybody that tried to listen today and couldn't listen to the show. Apparently, there was a glitch with the player for some people when it was playing yesterday's show. We remedied that with the help of John the Geek, our good friend. He helped us get that fixed and up and running about halfway through the show. We continue to do the show. There was one, even though you weren't hearing it. It was all about Secretariat. And we will be playing that for you right now, so you can listen in. We're sorry that you couldn't listen and call, but we will be taking calls tomorrow. We have another great show planned, and we will continue to take calls on Secretariat if you're interested in calling in and talking about the movie. We did do our interviews, and we did have Thomas Foley on, and it was very interesting, and you'll want to hear that later on in today's show. Here we go, and again, we apologize, and we thank you for listening.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
I am Glenn the Geek from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona. And you're listening to Horses in the Morning, sponsored by Pfizer Animal Health. Good morning, Horse World, and good morning, Glenn.
Good morning, Jamie. Hey, guess what?
What?
We had listeners yesterday, hundreds of them.
Really? That's awesome.
Yes, we did. I know. It's exciting. We actually had many, many hundreds of listeners that listened live and then throughout the day. That was so cool. I was very excited about that. You know, it's always – we've had this thing, Helena and I especially, with Stable Scoop. We always just are amazed that people actually listen, you know, let alone tens of thousands of people. It just amazes us every time that people actually listen to the shows. We love doing them, but, you know, were you ever that way when you did radio in Atlanta? Was it ever that way?
Oh, my gosh. It's funny you mentioned that, Glenn, because half the time people would come up to you and relate. Like, I remember when you said this, and they repeat what you said, and you're like, you were listening to that? Really? So it just takes a little bit of confidence. People want to hear about horses. There's no other live morning radio show for horse people, Glenn. We are it. No pressure, but we got to bring it.
Yeah, and we're a little less nervous than we were yesterday. I think everybody could tell. We were a little nervous. Well, this is also new technology we've never used before. So it was, is the technology going to hold up? Are we going to hold up? You know, all of that. So it was kind of a little bit nerve-wracking for the three of us. Jennifer did a great job yesterday, too. Our producer, Jennifer, she has the toughest job. She has to actually answer all the calls, and, you know, she has to line up the guests. I mean, it's a tough job. She's busy for an hour and a half.
She did a great job, and we do appreciate it, Jennifer. Did a fantastic job behind the scenes. So thanks for that, and hopefully you'll do that awesome today.
Well, and we had a lot of great comments, too, I wanted to mention, on our Facebook page. There was and also in emails. I received many emails yesterday as well. So thank everybody who commented and who left messages there. It was overwhelmingly positive, so that was good. And we had a couple of people email with suggestions, and I welcome those as well. And you can contact us right through the website at horsesinthemorning.com. There's a contact link at the top, or just leave a message there on Facebook. You know, I wanted to mention, Jamie, first thing today, that we have people are listening on many websites throughout the Internet, not just our website at Horses in the Morning, but we have what we call affiliate websites, and those are websites that actually carry our show, so people can listen there as well. And we have people listening. I want to thank everybody who's listening at Aspire Equestrian over there in England, The Chronicle of the Horse, Dappled Gray blog, our friend Molly over there on the West Coast, Discover Horses, Equestrian Professional, The Equine Practice, and it goes on, and we'll mention some more of those tomorrow. But we have many affiliates, and we wanted to thank them all for being part of the show.
Yeah, that's really an important part of what we do and how we're going to bring it to everybody is to have – affiliates and wonderful people that put our show and get the word out there. You know, we had hundreds. We want to have thousands, and we want your calls, and we want to talk to you guys about your horses. So the affiliates is the first step to kind of getting it out there, and we really want to thank everybody and say good morning to everybody listening on affiliate websites.
Well, Jamie, before we get into our topics for the day and what's coming up, I wanted to mention that you did a Halloween show, or you were involved in a Halloween show over the weekend, and you posted some pictures on Facebook, and we were so busy yesterday we didn't get a chance to talk about them. You as a little pirateess, I got to tell you, you were the most adorable pirate ever. I don't think you could rob anybody.
Oh, my gosh, Steve. The horse that I'm riding, I hope nobody thinks I'm starving the poor guy. He's actually put on about 300 pounds since we've owned him. He was a bit of a rescue project, and his name is One-Eyed Willie because he only has one eye, obviously. And so that, I thought he would make the perfect pirate. So we dressed up as a pirate. I threw a horse show, just kind of a game show for all of my students and all. I live in an equestrian kind of community where everybody has like 3 or 4 acre farms. So we had kind of a big neighborhood horse show with barrel racing and pole bending and all that. So we want to really, so I took a ton of pictures and put them up on Facebook. So you can see everybody and all my students in their costumes and our neighbors. It was a really good time.
I love the Superman and Super Horse, or the Superwoman and Super Horse. That was cute.
Oh, my gosh. She worked so hard on that costume. Great.
Well, it was just because the two of them matched. I mean, she had to put some work into the costume for the horse.
She did. She sewed the S on his chest and went and got him a sleazy. You've got to see the picture of Superman and Supergirl. And then my friend Anne, who dressed up, she has a mini foal, and then somebody else has a mini. So she dressed the two of them up, and it is Thumper and Flower from Bambi. Just awesome.
That was cute. That was cute. It was very cute. Well,
yeah,
so did you have
fun
on Halloween Day?
You know, I really, really did. It was exhausting, of course, because when you're hosting a show like that, you know, you've got to run out and set up the barrels. And thank goodness my husband showed up, and he was an excellent horse husband that day. He came out and helped me set everything up, and the kids had a great time, and there was definitely some adults that had a good time, too. And then we had the line of all the parents that brought their coolers, and it was just like a neighborhood beer drinking fest up against the wall. So it was a lot of fun.
Isn't that the job of the parents, though, is to drink beer out of innocuous cups while their kids are out trick-or-treating and while they're walking them around?
Oh, I know.
Isn't that like
a
tradition on Halloween?
I think it is. And they started early, so it was a good time.
Well, I'm glad you had fun. That sounded like a lot of fun. And, you know, we haven't. You mentioned your husband, Chad, who is, of course, the F-16 fighter pilot, which I always have to mention because it's so cool. But you guys are newly married. You haven't been married very long. He's new to this whole horse husband thing.
I know. He's jumped in with both feet. But, yeah, the man had never really, you know, been close to a horse when we met. And now he's riding his little, like I mentioned, One-Eyed Willie. That's Will, his 25-year-old blind horse. He rides him around the neighborhood, and they get along great. And he's, you know, we bought a farm after we got married. So just to add to the newlywed thing, we're going to add a newly, you know, new farm on the whole thing. So we've been working very hard on it, and he has been just a star. He's been awesome.
And tell everybody the name of your farm, which is quite clever.
Well, we live right next to the Air Force Base, and being that he's a pilot and I'm an eventer and like to jump, we named it the farm Flyover Farm. So, because he flies over it all the time, and he always looks down, and he says he you know, waves his wings when he goes over the farm, and so it's Flyover Farm.
Well, you know, I don't think he has taken my horse husband 101 class yet. We're going to have to get him into that. So I'm sure he's learned a lot in the short few months you guys have been married and together. But, you know, there's a lot to learn when you're a horse husband.
You know, there is. And when we bought this place, it was, as many homes in Phoenix are, sadly, a foreclosure. So this was not only a farm, like, it was a disaster. So we have had to go in and we have done so much work to the house and to the outside and got it all set up. So he might have done Horse Husband 101 by fire. He really had no other choice.
Well, today, you know what? We're doing a cool show today on Secretariat. We're going to talk about the movie. And, you know, if any of you saw Secretariat live, you know, in person back in the 70s, we'd love to hear from you as well, your memories of Secretariat, or any of the horse movies that are out there, really. But we're going to concentrate on Secretariat today. And, you know, we have, like yesterday, we had cool prizes yesterday. We posted the winner on Facebook of the Omega Alpha Startup Pack, which we posted on Facebook yesterday, so you can see who won that. But today we have another daily prize for you. One of the callers today is going to win an Equestrian Collections gift certificate worth $50. And for all of your holiday shopping needs, you can visit equestriancollections.com. They've been a sponsor of ours since the very beginning of all the shows, and we really appreciate Equestrian Collections being part of that. So one of the callers today will win an Equestrian Collections gift certificate worth $50. You can buy whatever you want over there. And, of course, we have our two grand prizes for the month, which Jamie's going to tell you about now.
Well, Glenn, you know, you mentioned Equestrian Collections, and they have been kind enough. Again, every caller that calls in the show and gets on the air with us and talks to us, we really want to encourage you to call. So you're going to win a $500 shopping spree, a shopping extravaganza from Equestrian Collections. And this is going to be, your name is going to be put in a hat and drawn at the end of the month. The other grand prize that can be won for the year, for the month, is your choice of any Vespucci bridle and reins worth up to $600. And that is generously donated from worldequestrianbrands.com. So between, you know, Equestrian Collections and worldequestrianbrands.com, your holiday shopping really could be taken care of by just listening to the show and calling in. And, of course, we do want to give you the phone number. So you can write it down right now. So grab a pen. It's 347-637-3238, and that's how you get a hold of us.
All right, terrific. Well, we actually have some callers on the line that want to already talk about the movie, and we'll take some early callers here in a minute.
Wow.
Let me just tell you. I know. Let's just talk about what's coming up today, and then we'll take a couple callers here, and then we'll get into our segments and our topics of the day. We have Thomas Foley, who played Jim Gaffney, that was Secretariat's exercise rider in the movie. And Tom has recently written a book called The Simple Game, an Irish Jockey's Memoirs. And we're going to have him on the phone a little bit later to talk about his book and to talk about his part in the movie and what that was like. We also have our Hot Off the Web segment that's going to be here once a month. Darcy Lambert's going to give us some of her new picks. She basically picks some things that are hot on the web, Facebook fan pages, cool equestrian websites, and she enlightens us with some of those. Once a month, I think we're going to have her on for our segment called Hot Off the Web.
Now, it works out perfect, Glenn, because Michelle's movie reviews. Michelle is calling in today. Michelle is from Right Lead Equestrian, and she is going to be our movie reviewer guru. And, of course, the day that you have Thomas Foley on the show, of course, Secretariat's exercise rider in the movie, you've got to have Michelle call in to review the movie. And then what we want to do after that is we want to welcome your calls. Have you call in and tell us about your experience at Secretariat, the movie. You know, tell us what you thought. Tell us, you know, did you see Secretariat in real life, you know, when he was still alive? Just that kind of stuff. We want to hear from you about Secretariat.
Well, that's terrific. It's going to be a lot of fun today, and it's always fun being with you, Jamie. Do you have your switchboard up? Mine actually crashed here, and I can't see it. So have your switchboard up. Let's take that first caller. I saw Trina was on the line there.
Yes, Trina is on the line. Trina, you there?
Yep, I'm here.
Hey how
Trina.
Are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you all?
We're doing great. Thanks so much for calling in. Now, you saw the movie Secretariat?
No, actually, I did not see the movie Secretariat, but I wanted to call in and show my support for you guys in the show. And, you know, I can always chat about horses any day of the week.
Well, that is what we're going to do every day of the week. So we hope you will listen more and call in all the time. So what kind of horses do you have?
I have the horses, thoroughbreds.
The horse?
Only horse.
Now
yeah,
you're
going to
get
a lot
in trouble.
Well, yeah, that may happen. I chat with people all the time. I work at a store, and I'm here and there and everywhere, and they always say, oh, and what kind of horses do you have? And I always say, oh, I have the only horse, and they look at me, and then I spout it out, you know, but I can be proud of my breed as they can be proud of theirs.
Absolutely. Are you involved in the racing industry or in the post-race train them to do a new job industry?
Basically train them to do a new job industry. I've had many thoroughbreds off the track over the years, and I have much respect for what the people at the track do to get them from A to B, and then I get them to the rest of the way.
Well, I certainly do appreciate you doing that. There needs to be more places to send X-race horses. I have one in my backyard as well, so the thoroughbred is a great breed, and we do really thank you for calling in, Trina.
Absolutely. Mr. Glenn, you're not going to chat with me?
Actually, I'm trying to solve a technical problem here about why I can't see who is calling. So I was trying to fix that. Jamie was covering for me. But hi, Trina. I love you.
Hi,
know.
Honey. Yes, I love you. I was going to call in to win a Swagman, hopefully, huh?
Well, hopefully.
Yeah,
you let us know.
Hey, they'll be in the mail, honey.
All right, good. Thanks, Trina.
You're welcome. And, yeah, I'm disappointed I haven't yet gone to see the movie, but I was fortunate enough to be down at the World Equestrian Games, and I was one of the persons that figured out that by taking public transportation, it only cost you $1 in the way there and $1 on the way home. So I rode the public bus in the mornings and in the evenings. And as everyone knows, while sitting on a bus, you learn a lot of things. And I actually was fortunate enough to sit next to a man who got to be an extra in the movie.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
cool.
It was very cool. I listened, you know, without being a stalker. And I heard a lot of the things he was saying and how much respect he had for, you know, how they were trying very hard to get things to be very real life of what was going on in the 70s where, you know, everybody was smoking and the big hair and how, you know, the race differential, you know, people of different colors were treated different ways and all this and all that. So I thought that was pretty cool.
That's fantastic. That's what a cool experience. So we do thank you so much for calling in. I lost mine, Glenn. Doggone it.
I did too. Well, thank you, Trina.
You are welcome, guys. Have a wonderful day, Glenn and Jamie.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks, Trina.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Well, speaking of those technical problems we talked about before, Jamie, it seems that all of us have lost our switchboard, which is the way we tell who's calling and also get our guests on the line. So we're hoping that comes back. That looks to be an internet issue at this point. So it looks like it's you and me in the meantime.
Well, you know what? Mine's back here. Do you want to talk to Lisa?
Sure. Let's talk to Lisa.
All right, Lisa, you saw Secretariat on opening day.
Lisa, are you there?
I think Lisa hung up, sad. Try to call back,
okay,
Lisa.
Lisa gave
and
up
then
on us,
we,
I think.
I think she did, but we do have Darcy on. So would you like to talk to Darcy?
Sure.
Darcy, you there? Uh-oh. Our switchboard's really messed up.
Yeah, I think we're having issues here with it right now. I guess we'll wait for it to recover here a bit. So let's talk about, while we're waiting here to try and get this all back, and I can't even get to mine, and I think that Jennifer is having the same problem. So I think she's having the same issue at this point. We're working on it right now. But let's talk about you. You went to see the movie. We both went to see it. So let's talk about our.
You know what was
our,
really cool, Glenn,
is
my birthday was about 2 weeks ago, and the movie kind of opened up, And I had asked, Chad, please go see the movie. Please go see the movie with me. And he just kind of wasn't really excited about it. But you know what he did? He surprised me on my birthday. He took me to lunch and then took me to go see the movie. So he had been trying to push it off and wait until the movie actually started, until my birthday. So fortunately, I got to go see it on my birthday. So that was so cool.
That's neat. Jennifer and I went to see it soon after it came out, too. And, you know, what do you think? What was your opinion of the movie?
You know, I have to say, when I first was going to watch the movie, we were sitting at a restaurant, and the waitress came up, and she asked, you know, what we were doing. And I'm like, yeah, it's my birthday. We're going to go see Secretariat. And she goes, oh, I heard it's just another Seabiscuit. And I was like, first of all, it's a totally different horse. Second of all, totally different time period in the world. Just because Hollywood makes a movie about a horse, a racehorse, doesn't mean it's going to be exactly the same. And that was frustrating to me because when I did go to see Secretariat, it was so completely different than Seabiscuit. And I thought it was just so incredible to have that kind of movie as a Disney movie. And get to see that on the big screen. So I thought the movie was phenomenal. Granted, there's going to be, you know, those of us horse people that pick it apart. But for the most part, I thought it really was a good movie. The parts where, you know, he was about to come out of the starting gates and it got quiet and, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I think Darcy's on the phone with us. Darcy, you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
There we go. Sorry, yeah. We lost you there for a minute. So Darcy,
okay.
Darcy does a segment with us called Hot Off the Web. You're going to do a couple of reviews of some pages that you like, some things that you find on the internet with us every month. So tell us what you found, and then we're going to go back to talking about Secretariat. But tell us what you found that was interesting this month.
Okay, well, I have three pages today, two of which are Facebook pages because I'm a big Facebook guru. The first one I found is Equine Soundness. That's the name of the Facebook page. And it's a community that shares info to help other people that have soundness issues with their horses. It's a great place to bounce ideas off of each other. There's some professionals that post info on there and also a calendar of upcoming health and soundness clinics. I really liked it. It's interesting and informative, especially if you have a horse going through something that you're just not sure, you know, if it's in the foot or the leg. It's really a neat site.
Oh, so is it kind of like in depth, like when you're talking to your veterinarian and you have no idea what they're actually saying, or is it one of those where you can actually kind of understand it a little bit?
Yeah, it's not so deep where you're sitting there and everything goes blurry and you're like, oh, I don't understand this. It breaks it down in simple English, which is nice. It keeps it from being, it's not boring. It's a nice site. And if you have some kind of in-depth question, you can post a question on the Facebook page and usually somebody will answer it for you.
Wow, that's cool. Well, what else you got?
The next one is the coolest invention in the entire world called Hay Hutch. And it's for those of us that use round bales. It looks like a giant Tupperware container with holes in the sides. And you put your round bales in there. It keeps them dry. Keeps the horses from shredding the hay all over the pastures. It's really cool. And Hay Hutch,
what is
the
it
name
called?
Of Facebook. Hay Hutch.
It's spelled H-U-T-C-H.
It is, yep.
Okay. Yeah, but let me ask you this. You feed round bales out there in the fields. You're in Lexington. We don't have that out here in Phoenix. Now, how much are they costing these days?
Well, I have a really good hay guy that gives me round bales. He'll deliver them and everything for $25. But I know they go anywhere from $20 to $40 a bale.
And so the hay hutch would... Yeah, when the hay hutch would, what is it, fit over the bale or what? Because I know when I lived in Kentucky that the horses would grab it and pull it apart, stretch it all the way across the field.
Oh, yeah, rolling it, pooping it, yeah. This is a, this would be a great way to make your hay last a lot longer. And I'm also, like, I hate when it rains and it gets wet because then I worry about the mold issue. So, yeah, I just, now the Facebook page has them in the UK, so I don't know if you can get them here yet or not.
Huh, okay. Well, that sounds cool. What's your
yeah.
what's your third website?
And my third one is going with your theme of thoroughbreds today, pedigreequery.com.
Oh, wow.
It's pedigree and then Q-U-E-R-Y.com. And anybody that has an off-track thoroughbred will just love this. You just enter your horse's name, the registered name that he raced under, and it brings up the lineage. A lot of times it'll have pictures of your horse when it was racing, who the owners and trainers were. Sometimes somebody will go in there and list the earnings. It's just really neat, and you can find out if your horse is related to Secretariat.
You know what? I got to tell you a story, Darcy, because there's one of the horse with our thoroughbred that we have. I actually adopted from the police department downtown Phoenix. He was confiscated. The animal, the police out here are really great with animal cases. They're prosecuted extremely well, and there's a great facility that, well, it's, have you ever heard of Tent City? They live in tents in the desert. But it's a great facility because they feed them really well. The veterinary care is very good for all the animals that are confiscated. And so I went down there and adopted a thoroughbred that they had back in Tent City. And, you know, he was confiscated because he was tied to somebody's swing set for 3 or 4 months in their backyard. The person who starved him is in jail, but he was about 700 pounds, and now he's about 1,200 pounds. I've had him for about a year, and about 3 months into having him, I decided to do some tattoo research. Mm-hmm. And I went to pedigreequery.com and put in his tattoo number, because all thoroughbreds have the tattoo number under their lip if they ever raced, you know. So I put that in, and his daddy was Lil E.T., who won the Kentucky Derby in, like, 1983, I think.
Aww.
Can you believe that?
The
son of a Kentucky Derby winner being tied to somebody's, you know, fence post in their backyard. So it was really cool. So I do recommend for anybody who has a thoroughbred to go on to pedigreequery.com and check it out, because it's really, really neat.
Oh, yeah. It's really fun to find out who your horse is related to. And when I trained racehorses, I would always keep their pedigree updated, put picture wing pictures and their earnings and stuff. And I think people think it's neat to find out their history.
That's cool. That is very cool. Thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Anytime.
And I guess we're going to have you on in another month, right?
Good deal.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you,
Darcy.
We appreciate it.
Yep, it's been fun.
All right. Talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Well, Jamie, I have my switchboard back up, and I think Jennifer is back on here as well. And it's been trial by fire here this morning, and I'm also getting reports, and I don't know what to do about this. I can't do anything about it at the moment. But it appears that the software, when people go to listen on our player, they're hearing yesterday's show.
Oh, no.
So I think we're not getting a whole lot of people listening live at this point. So we're going to run this as a podcast today. We're just going to do what we can with the callers that do call in. And we're going to get our guests on the line. And people will be able to listen later at horsesinthemorning.com to the recorded version. But it looks like we are having some issues this morning that we're going to have to get resolved later in the day, and hopefully tomorrow we'll be back to square one, which means that you'll actually be able to listen to it live, which I think has been an issue this morning for a number of people that I'm hearing from by email and by text and by every other way.
Well, thanks for letting us know, everybody.
Yeah,
they've been letting
really.
Us know for sure. So we apologize for that. I don't know what's going on. We actually pay for the software. The Blog Talk Radio is what we use,
And I need to contact Blog Talk Radio immediately after the show and find out why exactly we are getting yesterday's show on the player and not today.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll be dealing with that as well. Jennifer is going to be getting Thomas on the phone. But in the meantime, we have a sponsor today, don't we, Jamie?
We sure do. Let's see here. Let me make sure I'm not the right one. Daily deworming makes a difference. You can see. Feed Pfizer Animal Health Strongit C or C2X to help your horse's coat shine. Strongit C2X is designed for daily administration to horses and foals, killing parasites before they take your horse's good looks and good health. Learn more at PfizerAH.com.
In frenzied excitement, he eats up the ground. He paws fiercely, rejoicing in his strength, and charges into the fray, afraid of nothing. When the trumpet sounds,
our father's farm has been losing money for years to run a horse breeding operation. You need a certain touch. You're a housewife.
I feel like I could make something work.
Miss, this is a gentleman's club, miss.
I need a good trainer just to get things stabilized.
You need a Lucian Lauren. Dresses like Superfly. He's trying to retire.
I'm tired of babysitting half-ton animals who are stubborn as their owners are. Any other questions?
How much did you spend on that hat?
How would you like to see a horse being born?
Have you ever seen that?
What?
A colt stand up that fast.
Well, Mr. Lauren, what do you think?
I think he eats too much. He lays against the back of that starting gate like he's in the Caribbean.
Secretariat is not afraid, and neither am I.
Horse racing is unforgiving for housewives.
It's like every other multi-million-dollar gamble we housewives make every day.
All right, then. Let's show them what you're made of.
We're out of time. We need $6 million.
We just lost a race that we could not afford to lose.
You're guaranteeing that this horse is going to win the Triple Crown. Three races, three states, in just 5 weeks. Hasn't been done in 25 years.
You're that stubborn.
I'm that right.
She scares me.
Good.
Hey, there's Mom.
Now that you've gotten their attention,
every owner, every trainer, every jockey out there is going to be trying to bring us down.
This is about life being ahead of you, and you run at it.
You're about to see something that you ain't never seen before.
Okay.
There was the Secretariat trailer to get you in the mood.
Now, I get goosebumps every time I listen to that.
I know, especially the hoofbeats and the music and everything. It just gets you going.
Oh, I swear, when I saw that movie, I think 5 or 6 different parts I cried. Now, I am a little overly emotional at times. Nobody's ever told me I haven't been. So, yes, overly emotional me cried like 3 or 4 maybe 5 different times in that movie. Glenn?
Well, Jamie, can you see if you can get Lisa up there on line 3? I still can't seem to use my switchboard, so can you see if you can get her up?
Yeah, Lisa,
hello.
You there?
Yeah.
Hey, Lisa, how are you? Thanks for being so patient.
Oh, I'm doing great. I had to call in Secretariat Day.
Oh,
he's my favorite.
So you saw the movie.
I did.
He really?
Yeah. He is. He's my favorite. Zenyatta's getting close, though. I tell you, if she wins the Breeders' Cup, I might have a co-favorite.
Well, we're actually going to talk a lot about Zenyatta on Friday, so you need to call back in because, man, 19
okay, for
19.
Okay, I will definitely do that. Definitely.
That is one sexy girl, Zenyatta.
She is amazing. She's absolutely
oh, yeah.
amazing.
Well, tell us what you thought of the movie. Now, you saw it right away?
I did. I saw it on opening night. Took some friends, took my niece and nephew, had a great time. And John Malkovich was awesome. He was so funny. He
I
really
thought so
made that
too.
Movie.
Of course, he played the trainer in the movie.
Yeah, he was Lucian Lauren, and he was pretty cool. And then my favorite part of the movie was when Eddie Sweat came out on the track on Derby morning and said, "You're about to see something you ain't never seen before." It was so cool.
I know.
Goosebumps. That was the part I cried the hardest.
There's a really cool book about Eddie Sweat called The Horse God Built, and everybody should read it. It's really good.
It's about him?
It's about him and his relationship with Secretariat, and it's called The Horse God Built.
Oh, wow.
I can't think of who the author is, but it's very good. It is very good. It's a little bug for them, but that's a really good book, and it's very detailed. Yeah, you guys should. You'd enjoy it.
I just wrote that one down. So, it's a phenomenal movie, and I can't think of another movie that is about a horse like that until they make one about Zenyatta, which has to be coming down the road. But Lisa, thank you so much for calling in. We really appreciate it. And yeah, we'll do some Zenyatta talk on Friday.
Okay, cool. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Bye.
And thanks for the tip about the book. Bye.
Bye.
And now, right now, Glenn, guess what?
What?
We have the Tom Foley from Secretariat. How you doing, Tom?
Very good, thanks. How are you?
We're doing great. Glenn had a couple startup questions for you there. How are you? Everything good? Where are you?
I am in Maryland, and everything's great. It's looking like it's going to be a pretty nice day. It started out pretty cold, but starting to warm up now, so no worries.
And actually, you reside in Maryland now, right?
I do, yep. I live just a little bit outside of Baltimore. We're just up on a farm about half an hour north of the city.
Well, great.
I love the accent.
Now, you wrote the book, The Simple Game, An Irish Jockey's Memoir, and I want to talk a little bit about that first, and then we're doing the show all today about the movie Secretariat, so I want to talk about your role in that. But let's talk about your book first. What inspired you? Obviously, you were a jockey. You came over here from Ireland, and you rode in the United States, and you rode a couple different kinds. You did a couple different kinds of jockeying. But what inspired you to write the book? What was the final thing that you said, okay, I have to write this book?
I think that when you go through so many different changes and experiences in life, and when you forget why you ever got involved with horses in the first place, then you know you have problems. I mean, when you're young, I mean, it's all, I wanted to be a jockey because, I loved racing, but I loved the horses. And, when you go through so many different things, you just forget that. You just lose that part of you that that ever got you into it. And, I see it happens to a lot of people, and some people don't ever want to go back and just try to find out why they ever got involved. And that was me. I wanted to see if I could get back to making my life just about the horses, not the money or anything else, just the winning and stuff. I mean, the things that happen that change how you look at your life and the sport, and especially the horses, there's a lot of things that can happen. And, I just wanted to get back to making it as simple, just make it about the horses,
Yeah, you didn't have an easy time. Your book really expresses that. I think you're one of the few that has really come out in book form and really said what it's like. That's a tough life in a tough world.
It is very, very tough, it can also be a very good life, I mean, in a lot of senses. But, I guess it's when I grew up in Ireland, I saw a different side of it. We race with, horses don't run on any medication. There's nothing like that. So, when I was young growing up in Ireland, I definitely didn't have a clue of what way things might have worked over here. And then, as you get into the life here, you definitely see the changes and feel the effects of the changes, especially with the what you can and cannot give a horse on race day. And, over the years, kind of maybe got to have a problem with that, I think if they're not sound, they shouldn't run. And if they're, there's nothing better than horses racing, but I think, they got to be fit and able to do it before they should be made do it,
Amen.
Right.
We certainly agree with that.
A lot of people seem to be agreeing with it, which is good to know, because it was hard to kind of maybe come out and say it. But I think at this stage and the kind of world we live in, I think, people need to say these type of things if they believe them. And I was kind of brought up to be that kind of person, and I'm proud I am,
Now, have you seen a change? Do you think it's changed since you got out of racing, or is it the same? What do you think?
I don't think anything has changed. I mean, I think not at the moment. I mean, I think, you know, it's very all well and good to maybe say I'll start a change with myself, and but you have to start yourself. And I think I kind of think we live today in a very, you know, a throwaway world, and a world where personal responsibility is not really put on a, you know, on a premium where it should be. And you know, that's what we're trying to do ourselves. We're trying to make, you know, with at least with the horses we have ourselves, to, you know, to do it with the least amount of additives possible. And I think, you know, I'd be hoping for a day maybe when, you know, they race here like they do in the rest of the world with no, I mean, the, you know, hay, oats and water. And I think a lot of people are, and the jockeys at Penn National there 5 or 6 months ago took a stand against a certain owner because they felt he was mistreating horses and therefore putting their lives in danger. And they said they wouldn't ride in races for him or in races
wow.
that his horses ran in. And, you know, I think if anybody feels the effect of it, apart from the horse, it's definitely going to be the jockeys. And at the end of the day, nobody wants to, regardless of winning a race or making a living, nobody wants to go out and get killed and not come home and see their family. I mean, it's just, I think we're at a point now where it's gone a little bit beyond what the people that maybe implemented the race day medications thought it was going to be, because it's kind of like any other sport. If you open the door to one, somebody's always going to want to top the other. And on and on and on and on and on. And that, you know, I think once you open the door, it definitely it makes the way for people to find creative ways to make it happen, you know?
Well, and I think racing needs an ambassador like you to kind of paint the picture that is maybe not as glamorous. I do have a question, though. Tom, do you think that it's the same? I mean, there are obviously different classes of racetracks. There's, you know, you've got your Keenelands and your, you know, things like that. And then you've also got some of the lower grade racetracks. Do you think that it's different at the higher end racetracks, or is it the same pretty much everywhere you rode?
That's a very good question. I think that certain tracks are known for a certain level of racing. Like, I rode at Charlestown quite a lot, but I also felt that, you know, like at Charlestown, there's quite an awful lot of good people there to do the right thing. It's just more of a stereotype situation. But I think at the very high level, the horses have to be able to be sound, at least to perform at the level they do. But every track in the country has a bottom. They have a bottom
yeah.
level, and then they can switch from that to another track that has maybe a slightly less bottom. But every track has a bottom, and pretty much everywhere you go, you're going to find that. And, you know, it's probably not as common at the bigger, big tracks because they have more prize money, and it takes a better type of horse to win there or a sounder type of horse to win there. But, you know, pretty much everywhere you're going to find that you're going to have a kind of a level that a horse is, you know, running at that, and you know,
gotcha.
Not where they belong, you know.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about Secretary, the movie, in just a second. But I have to ask you, now that we're talking about the better the horses, what do you think about Zenyatta going 20 for 20 this weekend?
I think it would be absolutely fantastic for the sport. I think. You know, I was lucky enough to meet John Sheriffs a bit, and Mike Smith was, when I rode in California, was a very, very good friend and, you know, good advisor. And I'd love to see it happen. I think these are the kind of stories we really need in racing. You know, I think that's the problem with racing at the moment, that another one of it is that when these horses, they come and maybe win the Kentucky Derby or something, such and such, they're gone. As soon as they're 3 years old, they're gone. They're off the stud, and nobody can get in behind them and follow them and watch their careers. And, you know, they could have retired Zenyatta numerous occasions, and she would have been worth a fortune as a broodmare. But they keep bringing her back, and that's why she has such a fan base. And I hope she does it. You know, it'd be fantastic for racing.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think racing right now needed this. They just needed a Zenyatta. The fact, you know, it's just it's icing on the cake that she's a mare and has this story, but racing needs those stories. We needed a match race there about, what, 6 months ago. Racing needs that. It needs
no,
that.
I'm glad we didn't have the match race. I think they had two different running styles. They were so completely different types of animals. Like, Rachel Alexander could have gone to the front, and Yada dropped so far behind. I think it would have been the weirdest looking match race. I mean, I think people think match race are thinking Seabiscuit, and the way that movie went. And if ever, you know, and that movie did a great job on that match race, because if you watch it on YouTube, the original race, you can see, I mean, they really did a great job. But I just think that match race would have been it would have been bad. And I think when we had two good mares at that stage, there was no point breaking one of their hearts, you know. And I think we need to make these things better, not try to compare them. You know, they're such different animals with different styles. I think we should, you know, we should appreciate them for what they have. I mean, I really hope Zenyatta comes out and wins this weekend. I think it would just be, especially with the movie out at the moment and younger fans and younger people starting to look at racing and you know, maybe it's not something they've looked at before, and I think something like Zenyatta could put a new fan base over the top, and I really hope she does it, you know?
Yeah, now, I hope so, too.
Let's talk a little bit about the movie. How did you get the role?
That's kind of an odd story. I thought they were looking for extras for the racing scenes. There was a lot of different ads up in different racetracks. So I called, and Shannon Kane, one of the casting agents, called me back and asked me if I could be in Kentucky like the following Friday. So I rode to Charlestown, and I drove out through the night, and I got there pretty early. And I thought the idea was, you know, be an extra and would, you know, be one of the jockeys that rode in some of the racing scenes. And I guess I went into a place, and the woman asked me if I was there to read, and I felt I should say yes. So I said yes, and she told me that I didn't really look the part for Ronnie Turcotte because I was a bit tall and he was shorter and more stocky. But if I was interested in reading for another part, I said, sure, why not? I'm here. So I read for the Jimmy Gaffney part and got that. And I read a couple of different people, and they asked me if I could do an American accent, which I thought I murdered, but still they gave it to me. So they must have been stuck.
That's funny, because we heard from Wayne Williams yesterday, who is a radio friend of ours, who said he saw you over the weekend, and apparently they were busting your chops pretty good about the American accent thing.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I was up at the Virginia Equine Extravaganza, and I got to talk to him for a few minutes. With everybody was asking me, because I guess I don't sound like I'm from America. but I had fun. I mean, it's great to, you know, it's nice to get out and get invited to a lot of different places and meet different people, and you know, I think when you're involved in just racing your whole life, you forget that there's so many other things out there. And at that Equine Extravaganza, it was great. They had so many different things, and it was kind of cool to see some of the Western colt starting and things like. You know, it was kind of really nice to be there and be involved with it. You know.
So what was working on the movie like? What was your experience there? Was it different than you thought it would be? You know, did you ride a lot? You know, what was it like?
Well, I think once they got all the green M&Ms I requested for my trailer, everything kind of settled down after that. And I have to have my water at a certain time. No, I loved it. I mean, I thought it was great fun. I mean, it's really, it was an awful lot more relaxed than you would think. I got to have lunch with John Malkovich quite a bit, and Diane Lane, like everybody kind of ate together. Especially before you shot together, and I think they just wanted you to be comfortable around them. But just it's amazing all the things, you know, you wouldn't know. When you watch a movie, you don't see, you know. Now I look at it a little different. Like they put dirt all over me, and this woman was like spraying sweat onto me, and I was like, lady, I'm sweating already, you don't have to spray that on, trust me. I mean, it was just the stuff they do that you'd have no idea about, how every little thing has to be a certain way. And I mean, it was, but I had a lot of fun. Randall Wallace, I think, is a genuinely a real gentleman, and it was just nice to see how he was so good with the people, so good with the horses. It was just kind of, it just was such a different side of life to see, and it was nice to know that that they really do try to take care of everybody and everything on it really, really well. So it was eye-opening, and but it was also a great experience, because I got to see a lot of things like that, you know.
Yeah. Now, Tom, did you go to the theater and watch the movie, just like everybody else?
I've seen it. I went to four or five different screenings and premiere type things, and everybody at the end clapped. You know, you're kind of like, well, that's great, but everybody was invited, so I figured one night I'd go see just see it myself one night, and in a theater, and I went in, and it was a packed crowd, and end of it, everybody seemed to clap at the same spots that were just paying to go see it. And that was probably the coolest part, to actually know that people really genuinely enjoyed it, because I think it's a great movie. I think there's nothing in it you can't bring kids to see. And I love the fact that, you know, they were willing to give people that nobody had ever heard of a shot. And I thought Otto, who I've known Otto for quite a while, and, you know, he's ridden in, out the Midwest and a real gentleman. But I thought Otto really, I mean, he stood toe-to-toe with some, you know, blockbuster-type actors and actresses and really held his own and did a great job, you know, I think. And I think he really should be commended for that, too, you know.
Of course,
and
Otto played
Ronnie Turcotte, yeah. Yeah.
And he looks like him, but he really, when we went out and I saw Otto out there for the auditions, it's like, dude, you're getting this. This is a certainty. I mean, he looked just like him, and but Otto's a great, great fella, and I think and nobody probably could have deserved it a bit more than Otto. He really worked hard and put everything into it. So I'm delighted that he's having such success at the moment. You know.
Yeah, I think
well,
so too.
Now, do you have a budding movie career ahead of you now?
I've been talking with a couple of different people about some different things, but actually Otto and I are in the process of trying to write a treatment for a TV show. And basically what we want to try to do is, you know, show how big of a role horses play in a modern society. I mean, I know we have internet this and high tech this, and I'm pretty sure we're going to be driving in spaceships everywhere, but I think people forget that how big of a role horses still play in our world. I mean, people would be amazed. I mean, we were sitting down with ideas. I mean, and you know, I don't think you could ever run out of ideas for things to write and for shows to see. But so we're working on that at the moment, and hopefully we're going to get it. A couple of different producers have been talking to us, and we're just trying to see if we can make it work. But I think it's a show that, you know, they have crab fishing, they have everything else. Why not have a good horse show, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
Well,
and of course they had the show Jockeys on Animal Planet for a while. We loved that show. Mike was on there, and some of your other friends, I'm sure you've ridden with. And then it went away. I guess they canceled it.
I just think that they kind of forgot what they were doing. I think it was more of a, they were trying to make it a little bit more about people who's going out with who and who's doing what than actually what
yes.
they do for a living. And people that really watched it and know the ins and outs, like they made some people look really bad and stuff. Like, I mean, Corey Nakatani, when I was in California, really couldn't have been a nicer guy to me. I mean, really took time to show me things, help me with things, and they kind of made him out to be Attila the Hun. And you know, I thought he was I've never seen a side of him apart from being a gentleman. So I mean, it kind of was weird to me to watch it and to see kind of how it was scripted and the way, I mean, it just didn't seem natural, you know? And I think people that were involved and a lot of people that watched it kind of knew that too, you know? It just didn't seem reality. I mean, kind of makes you look at reality TV a whole lot different. Not that I suppose anybody would believe it's all real, you know? But
it was a good idea.
I just think it could have been done different, you know?
I agree. And in the first year, it was a little different. It was more about the horses and the owners and everything. And then in the second year, they went into the whole drama of relationship thing. And you're right. I think it got away from what its mission was. Yeah, and considering it was Animal Planet, you'd think they would have been focusing on the animals, you know?
So I think so. I mean, it's amazing how things change. But I think that would have been a way to go. And I think that the thing what we're trying to do is that to show the humorous side of things, but also show how horses connect with people on a daily basis, and then, you know, some of the good and the bad that you come across on a daily basis. And I think that you know, I think we have a different idea, and hopefully we'll get some calls on it, and you know, we'll get it up and running, you know.
All right, well, good luck with that, and good luck with the book. It's The Simple Game, an Irish Jockey's Memoir. You can find it pretty much anywhere, although I noticed that Amazon was sold out of it. That's a good sign.
That's always a good sign. I didn't know that myself. Rudy, my publisher up at Caballo Press, I really don't think Rudy ever sleeps. I kind of worry about him sometimes because, I mean, the man is on the phone, emailing, calling. I mean, he works like crazy. And, you know, Rudy really pushes things to the max, which is – you know, I've obviously haven't much experience with books, but he really has made it a great experience. I'm just amazed at how hard he works to get things done, you know.
Well, he has done a good job, obviously, getting it out there, and Amazon will have it back in stock soon. And, of course, you can find it at most bookstores. We appreciate you being on, and good luck. Good luck with everything there in Maryland, and good luck, hopefully, with the new series.
Well, thank you very much for having me. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom, and thanks for being an advocate for the thoroughbred. They need a voice, and I'm glad you're going to be that for them.
Well, we thank Tom for being there. I just got good news. Our super geek, John, who I'm mentioning right now on the air, was watching and realized that our player was not working, and he went in and fixed it. So apparently we are back to live again. I want to say for everybody who hung around and tried and tried and tried again, if you're now listening, we are almost an hour into the show, and we apologize. Apparently there was a problem with the technology in the player. We were having a couple of issues here this morning with this new technology, but it seems to be remedied now. Welcome back. This is Jamie and Glenn, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning. You will be able to go back and listen to the recorded version of this show. You'll be able to do that later, about an hour after we end today, about 11:30 or noon Eastern. Just go to horsesinthemorning.com. We kept going even though we knew nobody was listening. And you'll be able to listen to our interviews and the recorded portion and us panicking. You'll be able to hear all of that, right, Jamie?
I was going to say you can hear Glenn's voice go up about 8 octaves because he started to freak out. So I thought you did great, Glenn. Good job. And I thought Thomas Foley was awesome. What a cool guy to have on the air. I could have listened to that Irish accent for like days. Oh.
And, you know, we forgot to kid him about. Remember Wayne said yesterday about all the girls chasing him around. We forgot to kid him about that today.
You know what? I swear, it doesn't matter what it is. An American girl will chase an Irish guy just to hear him talk. And,
I think you're right.
Jennifer, were you the same? Were you like, I was like hanging on every word he said. I don't know what the guy, you know, I mean, I can't remember what the guy looks like. It doesn't matter. He's the hottest guy in the world right now because of that.
Yeah. And it's kind of fun here in Lexington. You lived here for a little while. If you remember, we have a lot of Irish folk here that come over from Ireland and they work and they intern over here at the Irish-owned breeding farms. So we get a lot of that. It's really quite pleasant.
Yes. It's not a bad gig.
No.
Well, we're going to alter the show here a little bit on the fly, guys. I'm going to tell you because we're doing this live. We can't really edit anymore. So we're going to skip the news today because we are running a little bit behind because of everything that happened this morning. And we're going to bring Chris's news back to you again tomorrow. In the meantime, we have Michelle. Yeah, she did have some nifty stories in the news today, too. I listened to it earlier. So she's going to be back with the news again tomorrow. Chris, you get a day off, and you get to we'll just use today's tomorrow. But we have our movie reviewer, Michelle, on the line. Michelle, can you hear us?
I can hear you just fine.
Oh, good. We were having all kinds of problems this morning, and I couldn't even answer the lines. And Jamie was jumping in, and it was all good. We're here. We're back. We're glad to be on the air again.
Yeah, happy Secretariat Day, now that all is lined down.
Well, Michelle,
and
you
I'm
are
put in
from...
I vote to have the Irish Stockies on every day, too.
Were you enjoying that as much as I was?
Yeah. I don't care what he says. He could just keep talking.
Yeah. You could read the phone book to me. I'd be like, go, keep going. Who else? Well, let me introduce you, Michelle. You are from Wrightleigh Equestrian, and you live in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And Michelle's going to be coming on once or twice a month to do some movie reviews for us and kind of a twist from a horse person's perspective. And what better way to start than to review a horse movie? So what did you think about Secretariat?
I really liked it. I really liked it, and all the people that were with our group really liked it. Partially, I think, because it's a story that appeals to all sorts of people. The story, I think, was so long overdue to be told, and everyone's been waiting for this to come out. I think it's about two things. It's about, obviously, the story of the horse and his journey through the Triple Crown and his racing career, but it's also the story about the trials and tribulations of his owner and what she went through to help this horse achieve what he did.
Of course, you're talking about Penny Chinnery.
Absolutely.
And she kind of went from housewife to horse owner pretty quick, right?
Absolutely. And I don't think she ever really expected that to happen. Try not to give too much of the movie away, but it starts with the death of her mother. And that's where her story, where she starts to get very intertwined in the family business, which is a racing stable. And it goes through her personal battles with, everybody knows, dealing with a farm and the financial aspects of the farm, and to sell the horses, to not sell the horses, to run the horse, to not run the horse, and still feeling torn because she's not at home. She's not with her kids. This was a long distance thing for her. She lived in Denver and the farm was in Kentucky. And I think it really showcases well what she felt and how she dealt with it, and that the horses were so healing for her. And I think that's something that all of us involved with horses can really appreciate.
Right, absolutely. And what we want to do in a little bit is take everybody's call and find out what they thought about Secretariat. Just let me give out the phone number real quick. It's 347-637-3238. Again, that's 347-637-3238. It is Secretariat Day. We are celebrating everything Secretariat. I mean, we've already talked to one of the guys in the movie, Thomas Foley, who played Secretariat's exercise rider. You know, we've talked to Darcy about it. We're talking to Michelle about it. We want to talk to you. You know, did anybody actually see Secretariat race live? I mean, there's got to be plenty of people, and I think Karen's on the phone, too, and we'll talk to her in just a minute. She actually saw Secretariat race. I guess you're probably not old enough for that, are you, Michelle?
No, I was pretty little. I was 2 or 3 when he was making his Triple Crown bid. So I was alive, but and I do remember him very well from when I got older, and I very much remember when he died, but I did not get to see him race in
Yeah, in a positive way.
Michelle, I just wanted to say, I thought the movie, from a horse husband's point of view, I thought the movie was very good. I don't think I cried quite as much as Jamie because she's so sappy. But I think it was very good. I think you had to go in, we'll put a caveat on it. I think you had to go in expecting a Disney movie. This is a Disney movie. This movie is made for kids, for adults, for grandparents. Seabiscuit was a little bit, I would say, more in-depth and a little bit more of a head movie than this one is. This is a Disney movie. Would you agree with that?
Yes, absolutely. And for all of us horse people, you know, be forewarned. There are going to be places where you're just going to groan and say, oh, that would never happen in the horse world, or, oh, my God, look, his leg is tied. Just try to get past that and enjoy it for what it is, which is a good story, a good entertaining afternoon, and you're going to leave feeling happy and wanting to go home and research Secretariat.
Yeah,
now,
and I think
give
that's
it on
what
your
everybody
scale?
Did.
I'm sorry?
You have a scale that you were going to use to rate
movies.
I have
a scale. I do. We have 4 ears up for Secretariat.
Out of how many?
5.
Wow, 4 out of 5 ears.
It only gets 4 because, you know, like I said, you don't take your big major world beater racehorse out and the whole family come and hug on him and love on him and, you know, play with him. It just doesn't work that way. And you know, there's some other things where some things going on in the barn and everybody in our group just almost had a heart attack. So if it was a very true to fact horse movie, I'd give it 5 ears up, but I'll give it 4.
Yeah, but you can't have a Disney movie where the racehorse stallion is trying to bite the fingers off the children. So you do have to kind of suspend a little belief, yeah.
Yes. Sort of transport yourself back to when you were 10 and it didn't matter what it was as long as there was a horse in it. Then you will completely.
I want to
go
back to 5 ears. How can you get 5 ears? Do we have an earless horse?
Well, they would have had to. It would have just had to be more realistic horse-wise.
No, what I mean is, how'd you come up with 5 ears?
How'd
we had 3 horses,
we'd
have. Yes.
was just an arbitrary number. You know, like five stars for restaurants and hotels.
I think Glenn's point was horses have two ears, so it should be an even number.
Oh, he's being obnoxious. Oh, oh gosh. Now you're just
smack him.
Maybe one horse had a tragic accident. I don't know.
Lost in
here. Hey, let's get Karen on here. She's been waiting. And hold on, Michelle. Let's talk to Karen,
yeah,
too. Hi, Karen. How are you?
Hi, Glenn. Good. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you. And sorry about all the having you hold. It's been quite a morning trying to figure out technology this morning, but we're back. So you saw the movie, but I think you also told us, you told us before when we had chatted with you that you have actually, you've met Secretariat or you got to see Secretariat.
I did. I was a teenager when he was running. And, of course, he was the hottest thing going when we were kids. And I lived up in New York State, and our 4-H group used to go down to breakfast at Belmont. We'd hop on in the cars and get up at the crack of dawn and go down there, and they would have a program where they had either a trainer or a jockey that would speak, and then you could watch the horses work, and they would identify the horses as they ran by. So we got to see Secretariat work at Belmont. That was very exciting as teenagers. It was really cool. And then, of course, I watched all of his races on TV.
Wow, that is exciting.
You are so fortunate.
It was fun, and I remember exactly where I was when he won that Belmont. I was standing in the barn aisle. I had just finished grooming my horse, and all the girls were yelling, you know, the Belmont's on, and we all squished into this little tack room and huddled around this tiny little black and white TV and watched him just blow those horses away. And then we just screamed for hours afterwards. It was amazing.
Ah!
So I cried in that movie too, Jamie. I cried. I was so
okay, good. I thought it was great. Oh, my gosh. So what parts did you cry in? Because, you know, after having seen Secretariat in real life, you must have connected. I mean, they say that anybody who saw the horse loved the horse and became like kind of a part of him. So as a closer to that horse than anybody here, did you have any parts that were extra personal that made you cry a little bit more?
Well, I think it was just at the end. You know, when he won, and I thought it was a fantastic thing that they had Penny Chenery in the crowd, because I recognized her immediately. And
really?
I elbowed my son and I went, you know, there she is. Oh my God. And he's like, Mom, what are you talking about? You know, you're crazy. And I'm like, no, that's Penny Chenery. She's in the crowd. So, I mean, it was so exciting to see her there and to relive that Belmont. And at the end of it, everybody clapped and, you know, everybody cheered for him in the theater I was in through all the races. And I think that whole overwhelming, you know, he was such an amazing horse and will always be. I mean, has done things that still, records have not been broken. So the whole movie, I think, just welled up a lot of emotion in me. It was just amazing. A good story. I'm glad it was told.
Yeah, I agree. And that's definitely one that I will be purchasing on DVD for sure to watch at home over and over and over again. Well, Karen, thank you so much for calling. Michelle, we really appreciate you and your movie reviews and being a movie buff. It's nice to get your opinion as well. So we really appreciate you guys calling in and hope you have a great day. Go out and ride your horses.
Well, happy Secretariat Day.
Yeah, happy Secretariat Day.
Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.
Well, that was great. And, you know, I agree with everything there. What did your husband think?
Oh, you know what he does in horse movies or any movies that I watch that I really get into is he doesn't actually watch the movie. He stares at me. He's like, oh, are you crying? Are you crying right now? I'm like, leave me alone. Let me just, like, be in the moment.
Yeah, that makes it better.
I know, right? Yes, I'm crying. Shut up. Leave me alone. He actually really liked it. He said when he walked out, he goes, he didn't think that it was going to be something he was into at all, but he wanted to learn more about Secretariat. And I think that's what happens. Like, my mother-in-law called me after she sees the movie, because now that they have horses in their life through me, they want to do everything horsey. So they went and saw the movie and called me afterwards and just started asking me question after question about like terminology, and we got on Wikipedia together and went over everything, and it was just really neat to have kind of everybody be as excited about that as I was.
Well, I don't cry too often at movies. I remember though, Seabiscuit was one that that I think got me, and I'm sure it got you. You're so squishy. Your husband has a turn for you too, doesn't he?
He does. I was hoping you wouldn't mention.
Well, we should explain why he has a term. Pilots have nicknames for each other, right?
Well, they have call signs, and so he gave me a call sign as well. and my name is Shem, and that's it means it stands for super high emotional maintenance. Because, like, for example, the Seabiscuit movie, I really think that I started crying in the opening credits and cried until the movie ended and then all the way home. So just to kind of see that kind of movie on the big screen and it being, you know, more centered around the Depression and in the 40s. And, you know, I immediately called my grandmother after and I was like, do you remember Seabiscuit? And it was just really neat to kind of go back in time, just like this movie, like Secretariat did, but from the 70s back to the 30s and 40s when there was, you know, not much going on. And for this horse to kind of sweep up a nation, I thought was really cool. So that's why I cried nonstop at that movie.
Well, I wanted to say that we don't have any more callers on the line at this point. And I think that's partly because of our issues where they couldn't actually hear the show earlier and they would have had to come back and hit the play button again. But we do want to thank our super geek, John, for fixing that issue and for actually listening this morning and paying attention. We appreciate that, too. He wasn't scheduled to, but I think he was. So it looks like tomorrow we won't have that issue, and we'll be back to normal tomorrow. So I think what we'll do, Jamie, is we'll also take some calls on Secretariat tomorrow, too, for the people, if they couldn't get in today or, you know, couldn't hear the show today, we'll be sure to include that in our request for calls tomorrow. And we did, of course,
Absolutely.
Have a gift certificate to give away to a caller today, which we'll do, and we'll announce on Facebook. A little bit later in the day, we'll announce who won the gift certificate of $50 from Equestrian Collections. You can find them at equestriancollections.com. And, of course, our show today was brought to you by Pfizer. Help protect your horse with Pfizer Animal Health's West Nile Innovator. The first vaccine developed to help protect against equine West Nile virus. West Nile Innovator is available in several combinations with Eastern, Western, and Venezuelan equine encephalomyelitis and tetanus. For convenient protection, contact your veterinarian about West Nile Innovator and other Innovator family products. Learn more at PfizerAH.com. Look, I got through that, and I said all of that without messing up. How about that?
I thought that was pretty impressive. Encephalomyelitis. See, I can't even do it. I mean, that's pretty impressive. Nice job.
Yeah,
nice
you know
job.
I know. That one got me the first couple times I practiced it, too. But I kept practicing because I wanted to get it right. And everybody knows that listens to me on the other shows knows I'm not great with names. So it's like oh, I got to read this commercial. But thank you, Pfizer. We appreciate you being part of Horses in the Morning. We are going to, right now, just to talk a little bit about what's coming up tomorrow, and then I think what we're going to do is just wrap the show a little bit early today because of the issues we had, and we'll regroup again tomorrow and come back. I am pretty proud of us, though. We had several issues today. We dealt with them all while staying live and not stopping talking, so that was pretty good.
I thought we did good. Let's just remind everybody that you can listen to all the shows on the Horse Radio Network at horseradionetwork.com. And a big important part of our day, which is where we're going to post the winner of the Equestrian Collections gift certificate, is on our Facebook page. So please follow us on Facebook. Just search for Horses in the Morning, and that's where you can go and see if you won that Equestrian Collections gift certificate. And, of course, we're on Twitter at Horse Radio.
And if you miss a show, you can still listen to the recorded version like today's, which is what you're going to have to do. On our website, you can just go to horsesinthemorning.com, and you'll find all of the past shows there. You can go back and listen to past ones as well. Or you can listen through iTunes. There's an iTunes link right on the website right there. So you can have it automatically downloaded to your iPod or your MP3 player, and you can listen later in the barn or when you're paying bills or when you're doing the dishes. One of the nice things about a podcast. You never have to miss an episode. And we'll be back tomorrow at 9 a.m. Eastern, hopefully live, when we have with us Darlene Newman of Equitrekking. She's going to do a segment with us on the behind-the-scenes of her Emmy Award-winning show. We're also going to go a little Western tomorrow. We're going to have Richard Schrake on with us. He's a great guy. And a horse health report from thehorse.com. So we have a lot going on again tomorrow. We'll be taking your calls as well to win another great prize. We thank Equestrian Collections for that $50 gift certificate today. Well, that's going to about wrap it, Jamie. I just want to mention one other thing. Going live on the Horse Radio Network today will be the latest Tack and Habit episode. That'll be live later in the day. We talked about a couple of cool products. Helena's been dealing with a little bit of an issue of moving her horses and having way too much grass to eat. So we'll talk about her favorite muzzle that she found and liked. And then we talked about a brand new product to the market called Hydra Horse. And Jamie, you're going to want to listen to this one. Anybody that has a horse trailer, I don't know why this wasn't invented a long time ago. This is a product that you put in your horse trailer that will give your horses access to water the entire trip. So it's really cool how it works. It's very high tech, but yet affordable for your trailer. So it's called Hydra Horse, and we're reviewing that at tackandhabit.com. It'll be live later today. So that's what's coming up on the Horse Radio Network. Say goodbye, Jamie.
All right. Goodbye, Glenn. Goodbye, everybody. Talk to you tomorrow.